This is Marcia French, your volunteer broadcaster at Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm going to bring you news from the Sun Daily and today an article from the Arizona Republic. Today is Thursday, March 27th. Today, some of the articles we will be sharing are Harvest Prep State Winner in STEM Competition for the second year, Local Prep Sports Roundup, a zoning process speed up, obituaries, Arizona legislatures keep privilege to dodge traffic tickets, and some more. Let's get started. Harvest Prep named state winner in STEM competition for the second year. This article is by Nick Fenley, a Sun staff writer, March 25th. For the second year in a row, Harvest Preparatory Academy was named the Arizona winner of the Samsung Solve for Tomorrow competition, which pushes groups to craft innovative solutions in the realm of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. That's STEM. Under the guidance of teachers Karen Mananang and Jaco Mabeza, the students sought to provide a solution for people with plantar fasciitis that also serves a secondary purpose, described by 12th grader Michael Castro during a sit-down with the Yuma Sun. We wanted to engineer an insole that can help with plantar fasciitis while also generating energy, he said. The way it works is it has piezoelectric components in it at the arch of the foot, the heel, and the front of the toes. The way it generates energy is the more pressure that is added, the more voltage and amps that are produced, which allow us to make watts. 11th grader Anaya Andiriga further described how the energy generated by the insole is utilized. The energy stores in a battery compartment, which also is like a power bank. The energy we get after walking goes there to be stored, and you can charge your phone or other devices, she explained. Regarding the experience, Andrega said it was fun and challenging at the same time, noting that she got to solder for the first time. In addition to those upperclassmen, sixth grader Nicholas Amador assisted in the project, as well as serving as a cameraman. It was really beautiful to see all these kids work together, Mananang said of the experience. When we started this project, it was to help people with this condition. They worked on it and gave an idea of putting the piezoelectric inside the insoles. So it's not only helping people with plantar fasciitis, but it's also for energy conservation. We are working together to combine middle schoolers and high school students to do this project. It's a really cool experience, and it's nice to see different grade levels working together, she added. Samsung awarded Harvest Prep a $12,000 technology prize package following the win. The students recently submitted a follow-up video and are working to improve the insole prototype as they wait to see if they will advance to the national level. As they wait, the students also have time to reflect on what they've learned from this undertaking. One of the mind-blowing things about the project was learning about electricity, voltage, and amps. There's specific ways you have to connect it in order to generate a certain amount of amps, Castro said. We struggled with that a lot during our project. Additionally, Mabeza noted that while there were some pressures and struggles that they encountered, the overall experience has been great. Overall, we're really happy that we were able to get into the state finalists, he shared. Now, everyone is hoping that we'll be able to get to the top 10 finalists. My next article is from the Yuma Sun, and this is from March 25th. Supervisors agree to speed up zoning violation process. And this is by Scott Geibel. Due to the slow zoning violation and abatement process, the Yuma County Board of Supervisors discussed ways to speed up the procedure. I think it's understood that we want to process these issues in the neighborhoods as quickly as possible. Instead of taking a couple of years, we want it to take 3 to 4 months. So what is the legal impediment you have? Supervisor Tony Reyes asked. The way the process works is that when staff receives the violation, the property owner is sent a courtesy notice of violation to inform them of the issue and how to correct it. They are then given 15 days to bring the property into compliance. However, if they do not comply within that time frame, the case is referred to the hearing officer. Planning and Zoning Director Maggie Castro responded, "Several properties do not come into compliance during the initial rounds of being cited, and those are the cases that generally take longer than the average time in the process. Over the past 5 years, 23.5% of the cases were resolved by the courtesy notice. 52% were resolved before the first hearing, 65% were resolved by the second hearing, and 86% were resolved within 6 months of the citation being issued." Reyes raised the question of whether they are missing a step in the process, given the low percentage of people who resolve the issue after receiving the courtesy notice. "There was a time when the process was changed and the courtesy notice of violation was eliminated. So if a property owner was cited for a zoning violation, the first notice they received was a notice to appear before the hearing officer," Castro explained. "Around 2017, the Planning and Zoning Subcommittee was formed, and staff was asked to make changes to the way zoning violations were processed. That is why we instituted the first notice as a courtesy notice," she continued. "When cases are referred to the county attorney for abatement, Planning and Zoning is asked to make recommendations before bringing them to the county attorney's office. After this process is followed once, they are instructed not to proceed in that manner again. The hearing officer process works like this. The first hearing is for the complaint, which the defendant must attend. If the property is not in compliance by the first hearing, the compliance officer will schedule a follow-up hearing 60 to 90 days later," Castro explained to the supervisors. So, obviously, there's a very small percentage of cases that take a long time. How can we speed up the process for those? Chairman Martin Porcas asked. "I think possibly processing the cases through the hearing officer once and then referring them to the county attorney's office may shorten the process," Castro answered. After a lengthy discussion, the board collectively decided to change the process so the cases would be directed to the county attorney's office. My next article, Prep Roundup, Kings Baseball, Softball Split Results Against Sunnyside. This article is by Mac Friday, the sports editor, and COFA Baseball and Softball had polar opposite results on Tuesday afternoon, facing off against Sunnyside on a day full of action for spring sports in Yuma County. Baseball, COFA 7, Sunnyside 6. COFA Baseball won a slugfest of a game on Tuesday at Sunnyside, riding a resilient 3-run sixth inning to a 7-6 victory. Sophomore infielder Ozzie Ortiz and junior catcher Ryan Rosas led the way for COFA, each collecting 3 hits in the win. Ortiz stole 3 bases in the win, with Rosas thrifting a pair of bags as well. Senior outfielder Jose Castro had the big hit of the day, a 3-run single to give COFA the lead, which it would not relinquish. 4 other Kings recorded a hit each in the win. Sophomore Gale Vargas got the start, throwing 4 2/3 inning. He allowed 4 earned runs on 9 hits with a walk and a strikeout. Senior Sebastian Mendoza took over for Vargas, allowing 1 run on 1 hit and 3 walks in an inning and a third of relief work. Junior Julio Reyna stepped in from his normal spot at shortstop with an inning of relief to close things out, striking out 2. COFA, now 7-6, visits Chandler on Thursday. Yuma Catholic 21, Odyssey Institute 0. YC Baseball put up yet another football score against an opponent on Tuesday, beating Odyssey Institute by 21 runs in a run rule victory. Just about the entire roster got to play in the win, with 11 different Shamrocks recording a hit. Senior third baseman Joey Carey and junior shortstop Eric Toppedy led the way with three hits each, with Carey recording four RBI versus a double and a triple. Excluding Carey and Toppeda, five other Shamrocks had multi-hit games. Junior righty Hiram Silva struck out 11 Minotaurs in four innings of work, allowing just two hits. YC visits Tonopah on Thursday. In softball, Sunnyside 10, Kofa 0. Kofa's softball dropped a tough loss on Tuesday at home against Sunnyside, falling 10-0 in nine innings. Sophomore Kalani Negrete recorded the only hit of the day for Kofa. Kofa hosts Chandler on Thursday. In golf, Yuma Catholic had 148, Southwest El Centro, California, 185. YC Golf picked up another match win at Yuma Golf and Country Club on Tuesday, beating Southwest by 37 strokes. Sophomore Meyer Schill took the overall top spot, shooting a 33. Seniors Judd French and Tristan Bennett tied for second, each shooting 38. Junior Jonah Miller was fourth with a 39, and senior Elizabeth Felix seventh with a 43. YC plays against Needles, California, and Parker at Emerald Canyon Golf Course on April 9th. In tennis, Santa Cruz Valley 5, Antelope 4 for the boys, and Antelope 5, Santa Cruz Valley 4 for the girls. Antelope boys and girls tennis split squads with Santa Cruz Valley at home on Tuesday, and the boys losing by one match and girls winning by one. Antelope's top four girls all won their singles matches but struggled in the double flights, losing the first two. The duo of junior Jennifer Silva and sophomore Desiree Salcido came up in the clutch with a decisive win in the final doubles match, winning 8-2. On the boys' side, Antelope lost its number 2, 3, and 4 singles matches, as well as its first two doubles flights, to fall 5-4 to Santa Cruz. The boys and girls take on Yuma Catholic at home on Thursday. My next article, Funding Cuts to Impact Public Health District. This is by Scott Geibel, a Sun staff writer, and it posted March 24th. Federal funding cuts are a concern for the Yuma County Public Health Services District. Director Diana Gomez on Monday discussed the issue of federal funding with the Board of Supervisors. "We offer a wide range of services, and many people don't realize how diverse the programming is. It's a pretty busy department," she noted. "I'm going to talk about federal funding and funding cuts, so for full transparency, that is always a concern. We have been very active in seeking federal funding. How will the reduction in federal funding from the government impact us? Do you have grants?" asked Supervisor Tony Reyes. "A lot of the community-based programming is grant-funded. About 52% of our operations are funded through district funding, while the other half comes from a combination of federal and state grants, with approximately 40% being federal grants," Gomez responded. She explained that 80% of Centers for Disease Control and Prevention funding eventually reaches local levels, which is crucial for local health departments as it helps alleviate the burden on local municipalities. "The Yuma County Health Department helps fill the gap locally by providing various services to the community. One of the services is vital statistics, which handles birth certificates, death certificates, acknowledgments of paternity, and amendments or corrections to birth and death certificates. Another service is community assessments, which identify health needs in the community. Once the assessment is completed, the district uses the information to create a community improvement plan. Additionally, the district conducts reviews of child, opioid, and suicide facilities, analyzing how these issues arise, why they happen, and what can be done to prevent these facilities from appearing in the community. Public health emergency preparedness and response is another service that prepares the community for potential incidents through tabletop exercises, which emphasize being ready and able to respond. Tabletop exercises are joint programs involving law enforcement, first responders, and nonprofits. Nonprofits, in particular, are critical for filling gaps that clinical care or public health may not be able to address. The health department organizes immunization events, health fairs, educational campaigns, cooling center coordination, and other activities. The Environmental Health and Vector Control Department, one of the busiest programs, oversees food permits, vendor education, facility and mobile unit inspections, pool inspections, and mosquito control. Clinical services and epidemiology provide tuberculosis screening and treatment, reproductive health services, screening for sexually transmitted diseases, immunization clinics, HIV testing, disease surveillance, and opioid education. Maternal child health and health promotion injury prevention focus on the well-being and health of children and babies. Maternal health offers home visitation programs, family education, and connections to community resources. Health promotion provides youth education, home safety classes, and drowning prevention. Mental health and wellness resources is one of the departments that has expanded in response to increasing demand. Some of the services they offer provide suicide prevention training, youth mental health first aid training, and bullying prevention education. Animal control offers licensing, animal welfare checks, rabies control, and community education on these various topics. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona and the Unima Sun Daily. My next article, Arizona legislators will keep the privilege to dodge traffic tickets. This article is by Howard Fisher of Capital Media Services, and it posted on March 25th. A bid to strip state lawmakers of their ability to avoid traffic citations during the legislative session has fizzled. Representative Quang Nguyen managed to get his proposal to send the issue to voters out of the House earlier this month on a bipartisan 37-20 margin. That sent the Prescott Valley Republicans HCR 2053 to the Senate. There, Senate President Warren Peterson assigned the bill to the Public Safety Committee, which is chaired by Senator Kevin Payne. But the Peoria Republican did not place it on his committee agenda for a hearing last week, ditto for the meeting scheduled for this Wednesday. And what makes that critical is that this is the last week for Senate committees to hear measures that were approved by the House. The failure to let his committee even hear the measure means it is dead because it cannot get to the full Senate for consideration. Payne told Capital Media Services on Tuesday there's a good reason for his decision. He said there aren't the votes for the measure in his seven-member committee. He acknowledged, though, that he's among the opponents. It's in our Constitution, said Payne. They put it in there for a reason. That provision, often incorrectly referred to as immunity, says that state lawmakers are privileged from arrest during the time the legislature is in session and for 15 days ahead of that. There are exceptions in cases of treason, felonies, and breach of the peace. Those would remain under Nguyen's proposal. But he would add another exception, all traffic violations. The measure comes on the heels of three high-profile cases where state lawmakers were stopped by police but escaped being cited because of the provision. And there's a decades-long history of other legislators who have claimed privilege from being ticketed. Strictly speaking, the privilege does not immunize lawmakers from citations and even arrest. Police departments remain free to issue the tickets after the end of the session, but there is a mixed record of actual follow-up by police. Nguyen said the privilege, to the extent it was ever necessary, has outlived its usefulness. Not Payne. I believe in it, he said. And what of his colleagues who escaped citations because of the provision? I don't think that a few bad actors should take it out for everyone, Payne said of eliminating the privilege. But it wouldn't be lawmakers who ultimately make the decision. All Nagoyans' measure would have done is put the question on the 2026 ballot. So, shouldn't voters get the last word? I suppose they could, Payne responded, but not this year. Nagoyan, for his part, told Capital Media Services that he is not giving up. He said another bid could occur next session. But Nagoyan also said he hopes that nothing happens before it goes to voters. You know, it is only a matter of time before a legislator will run over a child on a bicycle, he said, noting the number of current and former lawmakers who not only have been exceeding the posted speed limit, but actually have been driving at least 20 miles an hour over that, something that actually is a crime. Peterson said he didn't put the House pass measure into Payne's committee with the goal of killing it. I support the bill, said the Gilbert Republican, who also was running in 2026 for Attorney General. The issue, he said, is that all bills need to be assigned to at least one committee, and Peter said he thought it actually would have a better chance of getting a hearing in Payne's committee than others to which it could have been assigned. Payne, for his part, said his opposition is not based on any personal experience. He said he has never tried to get out of a citation by citing privilege. The little-known provision came into focus last year when Justine Wadsock, then a state senator, told a police officer in Tucson she could not be cited for speeding because of her immunity. That, however, didn't keep police from serving her with the citation after the end of the session, and she ended up getting the ticket dismissed by going to traffic school. More recently, Republican Senator Mark Fincham told a police officer in his new hometown of Prescott he could not be cited for speeding. Still unresolved is whether police will ticket him after the session is over. And Republican Senator Jack Hoffman was not ticketed for driving 24 miles over the speed limit on a highway after a trooper recognized him as a legislator. There is no evidence Hoffman claimed immunity. DPS has decided it won't issue a new citation when the session ends. Payne isn't alone in his opposition. During House debate, Senator Rachel Keschel said stripping lawmakers of the privilege could result in a governor, not necessarily this one, sending out state police to stop lawmakers from reaching the Capitol to cast an important vote. That drew a strong reaction from Nagoyan. That is an insult to law enforcement to say that you're not thing more than a tool that the governor will be able to use you to interfere with the democratic process, he said. I'm going to go now to talk about obituaries. The first is Carlos Argomanes. He was age 79 of Yuma, and he passed away on March 16th at home. He was a veteran of the U.S. Navy, born in Tucson, and funeral and memorial services will be held at Yuma Mortuary on March 30th at 10 a.m. My next notice is for Robert Edward Brown. He was age 80 of Yuma, passed away on March 18th in Yuma. He was a veteran of the U.S. Army and an accountant prior to retirement, born in Tucson. Visitation and viewing will be at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on March 29th, 2025, at 10:30 a.m., with funeral services at 11:30 a.m. Burial will be at Desert Lawn Memorial Park on March 29th at 1 p.m. And my final item is Maria Sophie Marquez, September 5th, 1970, to March 14th, 2025. She was a member of the Quechan tribe, age 55. She passed away Friday, March 14th, from battling kidney failure. A memorial service will be held on Monday, March 31st, at Yuma Mortuary from 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Arrangements were entrusted to Desert Valley Mortuary. I'm going to give you the weather now. The forecast for today, and this is from weather.com, high of 92 degrees, low of 62 degrees, mostly sunny, 0% chance of rain, winds from the south at 11 miles per hour. Friday, the 28th, 84 degrees for the high, 59 degrees for the low, partly cloudy, 6% chance of precipitation. Winds from the west northwest at 16 miles per hour. Saturday the 29th, 82 degrees, 55 degrees for the low. Partly cloudy, 1% chance of rain. Winds from the west northwest at 12 miles per hour. And for Sunday, 84 degrees, 61 for the low. Partly cloudy, 0% chance of rain. Winds from the west at 14 miles per hour. And the projected high for Monday the 31st will be 87 degrees. Now I'm going to go back, and because I always want to make sure you get your weather report. The Border Patrol has begun filling 7 vulnerable gaps in the border wall near Yuma. This is an article from the Arizona Republic, which published on March 24th. The Border Patrol is constructing a new 30-foot wall panels along the Arizona-Mexico border. The construction aims to fill 7 gaps in the border wall system, a project initiated during the Trump administration but canceled by the Biden administration. This latest construction is in response to an executive order by President Trump to secure the southern border. The U.S. Border Patrol has begun erecting new 30-foot wall panels along a stretch of the border in the agency's Yuma sector. Construction crews are filling 7 vulnerable gaps in the border wall system, according to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Those gaps were set to be filled under Trump's first term, but President Joe Biden's canceled the contracts. The gaps are in a remote desert area south of Welton, Arizona. The exact number of miles to be completed remains unclear. This latest border wall construction project is in response to Trump's executive order. And I'm going to move on because I'm getting near the end here. And the other thing I will tell you about, I'll just squeeze in that agents discovered 2 convicted felons during an arrest. This article is by Scott Geibel, March 25th. The U.S. Border Patrol Yuma sector agents from Welton Station arrested a group of 5 undocumented immigrants on Wednesday, 2 of whom are convicted felons. The agents arrested 4 Mexican nationals and 1 Honduran national who were reportedly hiding in the Sonoran Desert. And that's what I have time for today. I've enjoyed my time with you, and I hope I've given you information that can help you have a good day. Just remember, you've been listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, and you can always take Sun Sounds with you. You can download your app for the Android or Apple, or get it on demand on sunsounds.org. Have a good day.